And let me say a prayer as he prepares to preach. Lord, we just sat under the reading of the Word of God. We sat under the singing of the Word of God. And now we sit under the preaching of the Word of God. And Lord, as Derek prepares to bring this message to us, the message that he has prepared, that you have prepared in him, we pray that the Holy Spirit would give us ears to hear, give us eyes to see. Lord, that you would be teaching us through Pastor Derek this morning, that as he brings the word, that you would turn our hearts, incline our hearts toward you, that we will be greater lovers as your word calls us to be, lovers of God and lovers of others in our community and here in our church fellowship. So Lord, be with him as he prepares to preach, and thank you for bringing him to us, Lord. Bless him as he blesses us with the word, and we pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. Well, good morning. It's my privilege to be here with you this morning. Pastor Nate said that we go way back, and that's true. What he didn't tell you was that I know a whole lot of stuff about him. So if anybody wants some inside information, I'll be in the hall after service. Sorry, Shannon. So I'm encouraged to be here with you today. Again, my name is Pastor Derek Parks of Epiphany Church in Wilmington, Delaware. So I'm deeply encouraged to be with you today. I'm deeply encouraged about the partnership that we have with one another, that we've been able to serve the city in various ways, that we've been able to love on the city in various ways, that we've been able to pray for the city in different ways, and be able to display the unity and diversity that we have in Jesus Christ. So I'm encouraged anytime I get to stand before the people of God and share the word of God to those who he has ransomed by his blood, for those he has purchased by his blood. So I'm encouraged to be with you today and to share the word of God this morning. We, as Pastor Nate shared, today would mark 1 year since we had our first Bible study in a small little coffee shop in the city of Wilmington. And now we have launched that church officially. We're open for public worship and public gathering. So I'm just encouraged about what God is doing in the city of Wilmington through the life of our church, and how it's our goal to see the moniker of Murder Town USA disappear from the city of Wilmington and let it be known as Mercy Town USA. So we're encouraged. We're excited about that. We're excited about what God is doing in our church to serve the least, the last, the lost, and the left out in the city of Wilmington. So it's my task this morning to preach to you from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Last week, Pastor Nate opened up a new series for you guys called Love Versus. And I'm going to be jumping into that series to talk to you today about love versus hostility. Love versus hostility. Join me, if you will, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I'll be in the fourth verse and a little bit of the seventh verse, but I'm just going to read straight through from 4 to 7. I'm going to be reading from the Christian Standard Bible. If you don't have your own copy, I believe it'll be on the screen. I'm reading from that version because they sent me a free Bible. Y'all can't see that, but it says goat skin. Like, that's like preacher, like candy, like goat skin. Amen. So, join me in chapter 13, verse 4 through 17. Hear these words of our Father. It says that love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. It's not boastful. It's not arrogant. It's not rude. It's not self-seeking. It's not irritable. It does not keep a record of wrongs. Love finds no joy in unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, your word is powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, Father, severing the marrow from the bone. And God, I pray that this word would get deep down into the marrow of our souls. And Father, when we hear this word, that we might respond by saying, Lord, help us to obey. And Father, it's by your might and power that I ask that you would stand in my body and that you would think through my mind and that you would speak through my mouth, and let the words of my mouth and meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, my Lord, my strength, and my Redeemer, in whom I trust. In Jesus' mighty name I pray, amen. When I was younger and I used to like a girl, I had a curious way of letting that girl know that I liked her. Some of you know what I'm talking about. When I was in the fifth grade, there was this girl that I really, really liked. Her name was Nina. And I decided I'm going to let Nina know that I like her. And the way that I did that was I ran up to Nina and I would pull Nina's hair. There were other times I wanted to show Nina that I really liked her. And I would walk up to her and I would push her. I was killing it. Like, I was doing great in the romance department as a fifth grader. But what I didn't know was that Nina liked me too. And Nina wanted to show me that she liked me as well. So one day, Nina walked up to me, and Nina punched me right in my eye. I had a big old knot in my head. When the principal asked Nina, why'd you hit him in his face like that? She said, well, because I like him. And I was like, you don't feel like you like me, but all right. Let me begin to ponder this question. What would it look like for the Church of Jesus Christ to give the world some love taps? What would it look like for us to go to a world that is hostile against God and give them some love taps? Now, don't you go and hit nobody. That'd be crazy. Don't do that. You'll get hit back. But what would it look like for us practically to rally around the world, to rally around those who are hostile against God, and take a stand and say, we are going to display the love of Christ to you no matter what it takes? That's what we see in this passage today as the young urban philosopher LL Cool J was sitting alone in his room. And he sat there staring at the wall. He began to hear his conscience call, telling him that he needed a girl that was as sweet as a dove. For the first time in his life, he thought, oh, man, y'all supposed to do it. I need love. y'all supposed to be there with me. Y'all wasn't there. It's all good. So listen, what the world needs most is love. And the most profound characteristic of love, as Paul would point out to us, are these characteristics right here. And the first one that he points out, he says, listen, love is patient. Any of us struggle with patience in here? I do. See, this is the most distinctive quality of love, in my opinion. Patience has to do with our ability to persevere. Patience has to do with our ability to not lose heart. But I love how the King James phrases this. It tells us that love is long-suffering. See, most of us don't want to suffer short. We don't want to suffer many. M-I-N-I. We don't want to suffer at all. But if we're going to give love taps to the world, then we must be willing to suffer long. Anybody got somebody in their life that just makes them suffer. You love that person, but they just do everything in their power to get underneath your skin. They do everything that they can to cause you to suffer. And sometimes I think those jokers, they do it intentionally. But other times, they just being themselves, being who they are. But the scripture would call us to loving those people by suffering long with them. See, if you want to love on people, you better learn how to suffer long. Why? Because people are messy. And if we're going to learn to love the world, then we better be willing to suffer long with them. We better be willing to be able to persevere with them, to be long in spirit with them. The Apostle Paul is pointing us to in this passage. He's saying, listen, love is the superior way. And if you're going to love the world, especially the world that is hostile like the one that we live in. Anybody get the sense that we live in a hostile world? But more than that, for the believers in here, do you have a sense that the world is hostile against the things of God? The world is extremely hostile against the church. They have all these ideas about us that just aren't true. But if we're honest in our assessment, some of the things that they point out about us are true. One of those things is that we don't have any patience with people. The other one is that we think we're better than people. We raise our noses up at people. We look down at people. And if we're honest, we need to own that and confess that before the Father. And then not only that, we need to submit to his word. See, what this word is pointing us to, it's also pointing us to the idea of not losing heart. See, as Christians, we lose heart all the time. Every little thing that comes up, we freak out. Every little political movement that comes about, we start freaking out. Every cultural agenda that pops up, we start freaking out. Every little thing that comes up, we start to lose heart. But Paul is calling us in this passage. He's saying, if we are going to love, then we cannot lose heart. Most times we're losing heart because we don't want to suffer in any way. We lose heart because we think, if this happens, then I'll lose the ability to do this. In our American entitlement, we oftentimes lose heart very quickly. The next characteristic that Paul points out in this passage that I want us to take a look at is this. He says that love is kind. Now, I want to submit this thought. Love ain't nice. Now, I know that's bad English, but it's good theology. Love ain't nice. See, oftentimes we think that we're doing something because we were nice to people. I was nice to the homeless guy who rolled up to me at the parking in the parking garage asking for money. I was nice to him. I was nice to my teenager when they were acting crazy, like they lost their mind or something. I got one of those. We think we're doing something because we're being nice, but I want to let you know that the word nice comes from a Latin word which means to ignore. And oftentimes we're very good at ignoring the things that we should be paying attention to.
We're very good at ignoring the things that are going on in our culture as if that has nothing to do with me. We're very good at ignoring the people in our same city who are struggling and suffering because we think that has nothing to do with me. As Christians, we're very good at being nice. But the scripture is calling us to be kind. See, kindness has to do with showing yourself useful. And isn't it interesting, we love to recite this stuff at weddings. Love is patient, love is kind. Some of the first things that we struggle with in our marriage is being patient and being kind. Like, instead of just washing the two spoons in the sink, you start barking at your spouse about why they didn't wash the two spoons in the sink that they used. We even post those in our bathrooms, like, love is patient. I'm like, man, that's nice to know while I'm in the bathroom washing my hands. It's good. But when we love people, it causes us to act benevolently towards them. That's what kindness is about. Kindness is about showing ourselves useful to people. Kindness is about showing ourselves useful to the folks who are even hostile against us. How is it that we're called to love those who hate us? How is it that we're called to love those who wish evil against us? How is it that we're to do that? Well, we do that by the power of the Holy Spirit, but we do that because it is a display of the love of Christ. The person on your job who's always in your business about that project that you're still working on, are you able to be kind to them? To the person who was struggling down the street from you, are you able to make yourself useful to that person? Or do we just go inside and shut the door? I was sitting on my porch one day, and two young boys were getting into a scuffle over a basketball game. The one little boy says, I'm gonna go get my gun. Now, the nice thing would have been to go inside, shut the door, and call the cops. That would have been nice to do. But kindness called me to go down to that young man to find out what was at the root of his anger. What was causing him to respond with such a final measure, like shooting someone, to resolve a conflict. See, Paul points us to this reality that love is not an individualistic idea. Now, Paul is talking in the context of spiritual gifts here, and he's talking in the context of how these things can be used for the betterment of the church and for the reaching of the world. So some of us need to be praying to be more loving. Some of us need to be praying to be more patient. And some of us ought to be praying to be more kind. Because it's not just about us. It's not about the love that we feel on the inside. It's about the love that we were able to disperse to those that are around us. See, that's why Paul will transition to tell us what love is not. But then he'll jump back in verse 7 to show us some more about what love is. And he says in verse 7 that love bears all things. If you know me, you know I like to cook on my grill. I did so yesterday. And as I cook on my grill, I like to post that stuff onto InstaStory because that's what you do. Go on Instagram and you post it and You put a filter on it so that the burnt corn doesn't look as burnt. Because, you know, we got to look good on Instagram so people love us. But when I'm not using my grill, I cover it. I got this vinyl cover that I throw on top of it so that the elements won't get to it and rust it. See, this idea of bearing all things, it has the idea of protecting and covering in order to preserve something. And we have to know this, is that when we love those that are hostile against us, we point them to the one who protects and covers, Jesus Christ. See, this idea of covering here, it has to do with protecting from suffering. It has to do with protecting from harm. And oftentimes, we're not willing to bear anything because we don't want to suffer anything. Every little thing just throws us out of kilter. We get offended at every little thing that somebody says or does. Paul is arguing here that we are to bear all things because Christ would bear all for us. He tells us that it hopes all things. In other words, it places its trust. And lastly, it endures all things. See, if we are going to love in the midst of the hostile nature of the world, then we must be willing to endure through some things. We have to be willing to bravely bear some things. See, I live right in the city of Wilmington. There's some people on my block that are dangerous people. Some of them in and out of jail, doing all kinds of different things. But because of the love that I know that Christ gives, I'm able to endure through the fear and the challenges that may bring to tell them about the love of Christ. How many of us are willing to bear and endure so that others might know about the love of Jesus Christ? Or do we just go inside of our silos and keep ourselves safe, keep our families safe, protect ourselves? We'll close with this idea. The Greeks, they had a race in their Olympic Games that was unique. The winner was not the person who finished first. The winner was the runner who finished with his torch still lit. It was a run of skillful endurance. You had to know when to slow down. You had to know when to speed up. And I'll submit this idea to us. If we are going to give love taps to a hostile world, then we must be able to endure through this life. We've got to know when to run hard after people. We've got to know when to back up off of people, give them some time. And if we're going to run this race, we have to run it with endurance because we know that the light that we carry is not our own. See, the light that we carry on that torch is the light of Christ. And for every believer in here today, as you run the race of life, you must run this race with endurance, knowing that you have a light that you must show to the world. And that light is Jesus Christ, the Lord. So let's run this race with endurance in the midst of the hostile world that we live in. Let's run this race with endurance in the midst of the hostility that faces us on our jobs and in our homes. And we will display a love that's unquenchable, a love that cannot be put out, because it was a love that chased after the hostility of the cross so that we would be in relationship with God the Father. Father, thank you for your love. Lord, your love is mighty. Your love is powerful. Lord, your love chases after us when we don't deserve it. Father, and we thank you for the love that you give to us. And God, may we take that same love that you loved us with and go out and love those who are hostile against you, just like we were hostile against you. May we not think that we weren't hostile, because we were. Father, I pray, Lord, that you would be with us, God, as we seek to love, not just through hostility, but in the midst of it. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.